But marriage, we cannot talk about foundations of a Christian marriage. We cannot talk about that without considering starting from where you have been a single person. We can't just hit marriage like that. We cannot cover the whole topics that I would love to cover, but I would try my best. I'll try as much as possible to do justice. We'll talk about marriage, but let's start from here. I was sharing with Pastor yesterday at his home that many single people do really, really desire to get married. They really want to get married. They want to. But what they should do first, they have refused to do. And that first thing is this: self-discovery. Discovering yourself. As a single person, before we begin to look at scriptures, and for me, my approach is going to be a little bit different. I wouldn't butt you down with so many scriptures today. Because to be honest, we hear scriptures every week. We hear scriptures, but how much of these scriptures do we use? But I like practical Christianity. I like reality. I like real life. We're going to be talking about marriage, but let's start somewhere. And that is this. Before you begin to look for someone that you would like to tie yourself with, or someone you would like to engage, someone like you like that would you would desire to spend the rest of your life with, you must discover yourself. And if you have not discovered yourself, you allow somebody else to discover you, you're heading in the wrong direction. What do I mean by that? If my mission in life is to go towards open shore, and your mission in life, the partner's mission in life, to go towards Leeds, are they in the same direction? No. Though I don't know much about the North, but they are not in the same direction. But many single people do not discover themselves. You do not discover your own values, your beliefs, your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations in life, your ambitions. You have refused to discover that, and you're waiting to be discovered. Now, if a man who is going towards Leeds discovers you, a woman, the marriage really will be null and void. Why? Because it was not ordained of God. If you were meant to prosper in Manchester and you decide to relocate to Nigeria, God's presence, God's grace that he has ordained for you is meant to operate in Manchester. Now, hear me well. I see a lot of young people. I want to get married. I'm believing God for a life partner. What exactly are you here to do? What are you called for? What are you cut out for? If you don't know what you're cut out for and you want to cleave to a man, it will be disastrous. And that's why marriages do have problems. People say, okay, how can I discover myself? First thing, I can't cover everything, but I will give you a couple. First thing, you need to find out your own temperament. Hot and hot don't mix. A hot sister and a hot brother, you find them beating themselves. Hot in the sense that the sister is impatient and the brother is impatient. He says, hey, you say Jack Robinson, the next thing is, ooh, 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 ooh. That's what you have. Naturally. But you know, opposite does attract. In my case, I'm the hot, the lively one. My husband is the cool one. I met hot brothers when I started. I just didn't like hot brothers. I just couldn't stand the fact that this brother is hot. Because I'm hot. Hot and hot, they can live for a while, but after a while, we'll have to pull it and the elastic would break. What are we talking about? Temperaments. Some men or some women were called the spiky sanguine. Naturally, the way they reason, the way they, you know, the way they operate is this. It's easier for a sanguine. Let me give you a few attributes. They're usually the people that will walk into a room and the whole atmosphere is charged. They're full of life. Hello, how you doing? How are you? How's life? How is everything? There is absolutely no dull moment with them. The whole atmosphere is usually charged. Even when they're going through problems, you really, sometimes you don't know. Why? because of their nature. That's their temperament. That's them. They are called super extroverts. Even when everybody else is shy and they don't want to talk, they would open their mouths and talk. That's them. They're never short of words. And for your information, people who are single, those are the people the women do like. A man whose mouth is sweet. Even when he's lying through his teeth, you would never discover. Because he says some nice, lovely things. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so gorgeous. Oh, gosh. I couldn't sleep last night. I was thinking so much about you. The way you affect me. I don't know. I mean, it's just been so difficult to cope since I met you. I've not been sleeping at night. In fact, I wake up about 2 a.m. every night just thinking about you. And rather than you thinking in your head, is this the person I want? Is this the same direction? Are we going the same direction? No. Because of the sweet words, you get involved. And your emotions are running wild. Okay, oh, he loves me. He's so sweet. He's so nice. Yet, what are their weaknesses? Such people, their weaknesses. They're easily emotional. Prone to exaggerate, even when it's not true. They're usually restless. Many times, if they are men, they are egotistical. They're full of ego. Sometimes unstable. Many times, really unstable. The next one, choleric. Who are they? Hot as well. Quick, active, strong-willed. They make their decisions like that. They don't think. This is a business going on. I know a bit about it. Would you like to join in? Yes. They say yes without even thinking. That's them. That's their nature. They're extroverts, but they're not as hot as the sanguine. Naturally, they're leaders. They stand up for themselves. They're not easily intimidated. What are their weaknesses? They are self-sufficient, very domineering, unforgiving, very impatient, and unsympathetic. Even when people are like weeping, crying, oh, he dumped me, it's not easy. Get over it, girl. What's the big deal? They're like that. They don't have time for a mess. Wake up. Wake up and go. Wake up and go. I mean, this is not the end of the world. The next one, melancholic. They are analytical, self-sacrificing. They need this particular thing, they would give it out. They can remove their eyes for you. They're gifted, but they're also called perfectionist. They don't like things done wishy-washy. Perfectionist to the core. They are introverts. Weaknesses, sometimes they are moody. They get into moods very easily. Is anything upsetting you? No. Are you all right? Yes. Why are you quiet? Nothing. Did I say anything wrong? No. Why are you disturbing me? Can you just leave me alone? I would like to be alone. Many times they're industrious, they're very creative, and they're thinkers. They think a lot. But one good attribute I can mention about this group of people: when they are your friends, they've chosen to be your friend, they're your friends for life. It doesn't matter what people say about you. They don't hear someone said she's not a good person and then they respond. No, they're fantastic friends. They're very loyal. Their weakness, like I said, they're moody. They're picky. They're choosy. Easily offended. When they're easily offended, and they wouldn't say anything, so you wouldn't really know how to deal with them. You know what? The reason why I'm saying what I'm saying is really basically for the benefit of those who are single. So you know yourself before you go on. Because a moody man and a moody woman, what is going to happen in the house? We're going to have a mess. And the children, they're going to be extremely moody. Oh dear, oh dear. They're phlegmatic. They are calm, like my husband. Easygoing. Never gets angry. Very easy to get along with them. Slow and well balanced. but very consistent. They never lack friends. They never lack friends at all. But they have a dry sense of humor. Usually they're spectators. They don't get involved. They don't want any stress. Their weakness is this. They are passive. Unmotivated. They're subject to procrastination. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. 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 But tomorrow never comes. It never comes. They are self-protective, but they are stingy as well. It's ouch. And they are very, they're selfish. What am I saying? My word to the singles very quickly is this. You must discover who you are first. I keep repeating this. If you can discover yourself, you would be able to connect with your partner when you locate them, when they come. Because if I'm a moody person, it's a moody person, and we all sit down, I've come to visit you, you're not talking, I'm not talking. Who is going to do the cheerleading? Nobody will. So singles, that's my quick word to you. So for every one of us in general, Genesis 2:24. Anyone finds, you can read. One flesh. Okay. Corinthians 1 Corinthians 11:3. We're going to read just a few scriptures before we continue. Anyone finds, please read. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Okay. Next scripture, Ephesians 5:22-24. Somebody else can read that. Ephesians 5:22-24. Anyone? Okay. Did I hear you saying everything? Oh my God. You guys are in for it today. Did I say divine order in marriage? If any marriage is to be blissful or successful, we must rediscover God's order. We must go back to how God had ordained it. Because marriage was God's idea and it's still God's idea, we must get rid of man's idea of marriage. The idea we live with in this land or in our society is the fact that, you know what, there's nothing any man can tell me. I'm as equal as a man. And what a man can do, a woman can do better. God's order, according to the few scriptures we've read, is this. God at the top, Christ, man, woman, children. For a marriage to be successful, it must comprise of three individual entities. Three, God, man, woman. There is, according to God's word, there is nothing like me and my wife and I, you and I only. That's wrong. God, the man, the woman. You might say to me this morning, why are you speaking like you are from another planet? If we can follow God's order, our homes would not be the way our homes are. And if we can follow God's order, our society would not be the way the society is. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You have God, you have man, and then you have the woman. But what we have a lot of times in our homes, you have the man and the woman, period. It's our home. God is there, yes, we invite him sometimes. We're Christians, fine, but we invite God when it's convenient. When it's not convenient, we don't get him involved. Often, what we say and what we believe is this. Marriage is just between us. Any marriage built on just you and I, it will fail. And it will really fail woefully. Any marriage built on just you and I, my husband and I only. Any marriage built that way would not last. It will collapse. And that's the truth. Marriage, like I said, is God's idea. The foundation, if our foundation is not, if we're not rooted properly, if we do not do it God's way, we will have a lot of challenges. We'll have a lot of trials. You'll have a lot of storms. And things would crack. Because God is not the center. Because what holds the center together in every marriage, what should hold the marriage together, is Christ at the center of the relationship. When I was single, believing God for a life partner, I said one thing to God. God, I want a man that is sold out to God. I didn't want a wishy-washy brother that I would manage. Because I wasn't ready to commit my life to a man that does not know where he's going. Ladies, if you've taken the step, you are now married, there's nothing you can do, there's hope. You can pray. But the point I'm making is this. Even in homes that we already settled, God must be the center of that relationship. Once God is not the center of the relationship, it will not last. I cannot overemphasize this. If it is Christ-centered, it would last. In fact, beyond what you think. We always say, oh, he's Lord, amen. He has risen from the dead. Is he truly Lord? Because when someone is your Lord and master, you obey. Even when it's not convenient, you obey. What are we saying? Luke 6:46. Anybody who's found Luke 6:46, help me. I like my audience getting involved. Which is why I'm giving you scriptures to read for me. Luke 6:46. Why call me Lord? Don't worry about the mic. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the mic. Why call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things I say? We say Jesus is our Lord and our Master and our Shepherd. But do we do the things that he's ordained for us to do? The things that he's asking us to do? How much of these things do we do? Saints, in the life of a man and woman, it's good to come together. I love him. He loves me. The most important thing here is having Jesus as the Lord and Master of that relationship. When you face challenges, when you face your trials and you face your tribulations, and Jesus is not the center, we create room for problems. My sisters, my brothers, let me say this to us. Many marry a Christian brother based on what they can see. You marry a brother or sister based on, oh, she's beautiful. I know a gentleman who married a size 14. And after 4 children, she is now a size 28. And he's got to love her. That's exactly what it is. Every time I see the husband, I ask him, bro, how are you coping? He will respond this way. If I had married her flesh, I would have left her by now. But because I married the woman behind this shell, that's the only reason why the marriage has not collapsed. What am I saying? Connection is key in every relationship. There are some things we ignore at the beginning of our relationships that we ought not to ignore. Connection is called the spark in a relationship. People who are married, let me see your hand up. Oh, so at least you understand what I'm saying. So much that when you don't see the person, your body does somehow. It shakes. Pastor is confessing exactly what I said to you guys.
Your body shakes. Your body feels somehow. You feel incomplete. You feel you belong, you know, somewhere. And that part of you is away. You read a scripture for me. God brings a man and a woman together. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. And you see, when you miss them, somehow it's like, it's over there. And it's not with you yet. What am I saying? If you don't have a connection with a man or a woman, don't just marry them because of their beauty. Because beauty would fade. She can be like my friend who is now a size 28 and the man is having to love her just that way. What are we saying? Key thing for me today that I want you to take away. If we're talking about being Jesus being the Lord and the master of your life, if Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is the Lord of the guy you would want to marry or that you're married to, your marriage would take a new turn. Why? Because the Lord, the same Lord, will speak the same thing to both parties. If my husband can hear God and I cannot hear God, we would not be going in the same direction. It would be difficult to walk together. Bible says, can two walk together? Except they agree. And a lot of sisters, we take a chance. He's not born again. We'll manage him like that. He will change. God will do it. God knows where I am. The girl is not born again. You met her at the club. She comes to church, but the club has not left her. And you go ahead and marry her, the club ain't going to leave her when she's married to you. We're talking about headship now. You read another scripture for me. A woman should submit to her head. What is the meaning of head? What does it mean? Head in Greek is kephale. It means it carries a sense of origin. It's a source. A head is a source. It is used of the source of a river. A river flows from somewhere. It does just not start in the middle. Every home must have a head. Headship for men. God is the source of Christ, our Lord, which was what I said when we started. God, Christ, man, woman. Children. Headship. Remember John 1:3 says, he holds all things. All things were made by him. All things. He is still the source. Woman was brought from the side of a man. God breathed he decided to breathe the breath of life. We are from God. So God, Christ, man, and then the woman came from the side. Now, headship is not about superiority, being more superior. The husband is not more superior than the wife. That's the truth of the matter. But we know of Christ. Christ decided to submit himself, though Christ was equal with God. He is equal with God, but Christ decided to submit himself. He made a decision. That is what is expected of us, particularly ladies. Why? You wonder, why should I submit? Are we not equal? We're all on the same level. This is England. We're all equal before God. God answers his prayer. He answers my prayer. God expects the woman to submit to the man. That is why you must check it out before you say yes. The man is not more superior, and I keep saying that. He is not. Maybe we will understand it this way. Philippians 2, 5 and 7. It should be our model. And I think we should read it, to be honest. Philippians 2, 5 to 7. I think we should read it. Christ, we know Christ, Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the same. Yet, he made a choice to humble himself and allow God to be God and Christ and then the Holy Spirit. 2:5-7. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with him, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men.
looking at the men in this room.
It takes humility, ladies, for you to know you are on the same level in the sight of God, and you choose, let me allow him to lead.
Men, headship means responsibility. You're not just the head for being the head. Headship, being the head of a home, means responsibility.
Uneasy lies the head that wears the... If you are going to be looked after, if you're going to be treated like a king, you must be ready to take responsibility. You must be ready to command respect. Something must come out of your pocket. You can't be the head and nothing is happening. Head must be the proper head.
Because we're not equal. You know, we've established we're not equal. We're equal, but we ladies, we have decided to humble ourselves. Allow the man to lead according to the word of God. There's no compromise about that. We're not, in fact, as ladies, I don't know why some ladies have a problem wanting to lead when the man has assumed the responsibility to lead. It's not easy to lead. Because you know what? Headship means leading and not following. As the head, as the man. Nobody's following you if we know you don't know where you're going. Men ought to lead the women. The man must lead the woman in the home. That is God's order. I'm not talking about England's order now. I'm not talking about the rule, what the society says to us. But according to the word of God, the man is called to lead. They're supposed to lead their home. If God really wanted we, the women, to lead, he would have, when he created Eve and Adam, he would have said, Eve, lead Adam. Adam, hold her hair at the back and just follow her. God's order is for the man to lead and the woman to follow. Second responsibility of headship, taking decisions. You talk it through, but you can't discuss things and not make a decision. Somebody must stand up and make a decision in the home, and that's the man. The ultimate responsibility lies on the man. It is never easy for an organization for them to make decisions if they have a man who is irresponsible. May our men not be irresponsible. If things really do go wrong with the head, it will affect everybody. So that's why, as women, you must pray for your husband. I pray for my husband day and night. And you see, my own prayer is not the prayer for him to be able to lead alone. I also pray that he would not lead us astray. Because if he leads us astray, we're in trouble. If he doesn't know where he's going, if he cannot hear the voice of God, we are all doomed. Because we're heading in the wrong direction. And that's the truth of the matter. Apart from praying that God will blindfold all the women, they will not see him. God will cover their eyes. When they see him, they will think he's just one stick going through. They will see him as not somebody handsome. They will just look at him and take their eyes off. I pray that prayer. I don't want stress. Nobody can share him with me because he's mine. Being responsible for the major finances of the house. That is the role of the man. Can I hear an amen from the ladies? Amen. Your amen is very weak. Sister Christine, you're on my side. The major responsibility, major financial responsibility in the home lies with the man. I know the society says, okay, of course, in our home, we have a joint account, bring whatever I earn, we put it together. But my husband must make an effort to earn more money. That's why he's the head. He can't be earning the amount I'm earning. If he's not able to earn it, he must look for extra work. That's how to be the head. How can we be on the same level? I'm earning 500, you two, you're earning 500, and you are the leader, and you are the head. No. Do more. Can I hear an amen from the men? See the men. Ladies, if according to the word of God, the Bible says the men, they are the head. And headship means responsibility, taking decisions. Ladies, I don't see any reason why we should struggle with these men wanting to be in charge of the home.
because it's a lot of responsibility. You don't have to worry about the mortgage because headship means responsibility. So, Minister, why? Even if you don't want to bring your money, pastor must look for money. He must find it. He must find it. Because according to God's word, headship means responsibility. Taking decisions, not making us to suffer. As a man, your wife is not allowed to suffer. Amen. Why? Amen. You claim God has called you. I hope the people up there, the technical department, they are listening to me. Because I can see about four men there. They're in their own world. See? They're all discussing. See? You can see them. Everyone down here, look up. Look. They have still not been able to catch what I'm saying. They are... Can someone really let them know? Because I think these men up here, they need to hear. I'm talking to the men up there. I'm saying headship, taking responsibility. Is money is involved. All your wives, you claim you are married, all of you. You're all married. If you're married, raise your hand. Except one. Okay, that one. What I'm saying is you must look after your wives. Headship means you bring out money. You pay the mortgage. You do the shopping. You take charge of everything in the house. That is God's way. That is God's approach. If the woman now decides to have mercy on you, after she has earned her income, sweetheart, I would like to submit this to the apostles' feet and deliver it. It's her choice. You cannot, saints, you cannot afford, you cannot depend. Someone said to me, I preached this in church in London. Someone said to me, but that's a bit traditional. Maybe that's how they do it in Africa. And I said, In studying my own Bible. And to be honest, I didn't discover this. My husband discovered it, shared it with me, and I was excited. I thought, oh my God, I'm delivered in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So now if I wake up and I don't want to work, it's his responsibility. If I don't want to bring out money, it's his own headache. Because headship, because you know the Bible says, Sarah called her husband Lord. Ladies, your job is easy. Wake up in the morning, my Lord, what would you like for breakfast? My Lord, what can I do for you? Before your Lord finishes at work, you phone him up. My Lord, what time are you coming back? What would you like for dinner? Which lingerie would you like me to wear today? Is it the pink one or the yellow one or the blue one? Your job is easy as ladies. Financial responsibility is his own. Payment of gas bill, electric bill is his own. All the Bible is asking you to do, submit. They say sit down, you sit down. Stand up, stand up. I feel like I want you today, here I am. Not send me, here I am, oh Lord, my master. You want me to turn to the back? Yes, sir. Lie to the side? Yes, sir. Your job is so easy. If the woman can take her place, the husband can take his place, our marriages would be fantastic. The reason why I'm sharing it this way is this, why I'm passionate about it. I made myself suffer the first 5 years of marriage. I thought my money was just my own money. I will earn and I will hide my money. And the bill will come, we'll be waiting for who will pay. You will pay. And I paid it last month. It's your turn now, you will pay. I said, A man who is responsible for his home, that is headship we're talking about. Ladies, listen to this, particularly for you ladies. If a man goes out, comes back, buys you all that you need, he pays the bill, he's in charge of everything, what will be your problem? The assignment you would only have is to submit and present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You wouldn't have to worry about school fees. I don't get myself involved with school fees. My role is submit. Is it breakfast, lunch, and dinner? As you want physical breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you want it that way too? Available. He's ready to go to work. Can I see you, miss, for a minute? Yes, my Lord. You want it delivered now? Or you want me to meet up with you at lunch? Or you want to come home briefly? Acceptable. Guys, annual holiday would not be history. It would not be story. A man that you satisfy, he says yes. You say yes, sir. Can we go? We are going. He will sort out your holiday without you thinking. Because men, let's look at it. You have a woman who is supportive. You have a woman who listens. You have a woman who obeys. You have a woman who submits. Men, would you have a problem with such women? Before you buy anything for yourself, you remember her. Why? Because she's a woman that makes your heart glad. My husband can go to America, go anywhere in the world. He would have bought myself, he would have bought me things, bought the children things, before he remembers to buy himself socks. I was picking what to wear to come to Manchester. It was a trouser suit, and I put it on the wall, ready to pack my bag. And my husband said, you know what? That top, that nice colored jumper-ish top I bought you from the States is what I want you to wear to Manchester. I said, but you're not going to be there, darling. Why would you like me to appear that way? He said, but that's how I want you to look. I said, but you won't see me. He said, but I might watch the DVD and I might see the picture. I said, but darling, you're getting it wrong. I want to be comfortable. But that's what I would like you to wear. No problem. Turn like a robot to the wardrobe. Removed it, turned back. Is this the one? He says, yes. Pack it in the bag. Now that I've put it on, I don't have any clothes in my wardrobe that I have not put on. So I've given him the list again. All my clothes are worn. I've put on everything now. So there's nothing new. So please, when you're going, I need this color, I need that color, I need this shoe. Do you know that shoe you bought me? I'm wearing it in Manchester. It's the front is beginning to open a little bit. I need another size 7. Oh dear, oh dear. Sacrificial leadership will take place. Some people say, but my husband is wicked. My husband doesn't come back home in time. He doesn't help me at home. If I want to get my husband to do things for me in the house, I don't tell him history. I don't tell him story. How can you want somebody to help you? You are telling the man, can't you see that thing at the door? Can't you remove it? When you were coming, were you blind? Visitors are going to come into this house. Look at the whole house. You want my husband to help me? Akinwale Abiodun Babatunde. You want him to help you to do something? I want him to do the thing, you know. I that I'm looking for help, I will start. I will not sit down and cross my leg. Darling, can you please go and bring my jumper inside the bedroom? He will wonder, is there anything wrong with you? When I married you, did you marry me or I married you? You want the man to help you in the house. Oh, honey, I'm so tired. I've been cleaning the house all day. Hey, but I'm tired too, but you know, why don't we do it together? Please now. Oh, it will be fun. Before you know it, he will get up and join you. Why? The approach. The approach. The place is dirty. We did it together. And we should do it together. Many people in the church, particularly our church, they don't know that my husband, he washes the plate. African culture, they wonder, after you've gotten to a certain age, why should a man go to the kitchen and wash plate? Why? That's the culture. But I can get my husband to wash plate. Don't let him hear this, people. I can get my husband to wash socks. If I need it, I need tights. I need, what do you call it? Pantyhose. I need it tomorrow and it's dirty. I can get him to wash it tonight. No money for my hair, for me to do my hair. I can collect the money. All I need to do is just keep scratching the hair where it is. Darling, this hair is scratching me. Hey, Jesus. It's been about 6 weeks I've done this hair. And you know, you don't want people to begin to think you're not looking after me. A man that has common sense will bring out the money. A man that does not want to be disgraced.
Headship, a number of observations that I have seen.
If we can only return to God's order within the Godhead, how God had ordained it, everyone will be happy. The children must have a head. Like I said before, man, woman, we're all equal. But as the woman, somebody must submit and come down. If you were to plan to travel to Nigeria and upon entering the flight, you hear the pilots discussing. I'm starting the journey first. You two, I'm starting. No, it's you starting the journey. Will you go on the journey? You wouldn't. Anything with two heads is a monster. Anything with two heads. In a lot of homes, everybody wants to be in charge. I want to be in charge. No. It doesn't mean because you are the head. Let him be in charge. But remember, you are the neck. Can the head operate without the neck? Try your own. Move it. Try and move your head without the neck moving. A neck that has wisdom can get the man to do anything. What are we saying? Someone today might say, but you're talking like you want the women to be oppressed. No. Bible says the woman should submit in everything. And this is where I'm going to wrap this whole thing up. You ask me, why should a woman submit in everything? Why? I like people to dialogue with me. Why should a woman submit in everything? Why? Why should a woman do that? Why can't the man too submit? God knows our strength. Look at Eve. Naturally, women are emotional. We make our decisions quick like that without thinking. And you can wreck the ship that way. And that's why a lot of times it's good when you find a man, make sure the man is opposite. Make sure you marry a man that is well balanced. A man that will not make a decision quick like you. There are times I want my husband to do things and I keep saying it. I'm not nagging. And I keep saying it. 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 Not nagging, but I keep saying it. And he will say, you know what, you've changed your mind on this issue on two or three occasions. If we had gone with the first thing you said, I think it was recently we were trying to sort out a school for my children. And I mean, I would see one school, I would like it, they're going to this one. And I would hear something nice about another school, darling, let them go to another. And my husband said, listen, these are children, they are not toys. We must sit down to think over things. For now, for me, I don't worry about decisions like that. Because if anything go wrong, I will hold him responsible. You made that decision. Remember, you are the head. So as the head, you must find a way of hearing God as a man. If you cannot hear God and your wife is the one hearing God, you are in trouble. Because if our emotion speaks to her, you are going the same direction. It also says it this way. Submission as a woman that I see, it's just a power that God has delegated to the men. God has just given them power. For someone to just represent your whole household, and this is where we are all going. That is the basic thing. Your husband is acting on behalf of Christ in her homes. Because if you can hear God, and your husband can hear God, you will see that at the end of the day, we are all going where? The same direction. There will be no quarrels, there will be no qualms. Final thing I would say before we move on to anything else this afternoon. Few observations about submission. Some people say, I find it very difficult to submit. Submit because the Bible says we should submit in everything. Submit anyway because the Bible says submit. Submission is voluntary. It should not be imposed. There's nothing like, don't you know I'm the head of this home? Why are you talking to me like that? We will see if you are the head from your actions. Financial implications, we will see. Headship, taking responsibility, we will see. looking after us, looking after the woman, looking after the children, helping around the house also, we will see if you are the head. So there's really no need for you to say, don't you know I'm the head of this home? You don't respect me. He will command respect when you do the things you ought to do. In fact, respect is commanded. It is not optional. It will not be something that, can't you see? The Bible says women should submit. You would not even need to raise your voice. Because before you see anything, she'll be able to pick it up very easily. Submission, not manipulation. Women are encouraged to submit, not to manipulate and be silent because the man has said something that you don't like. A woman that is submitted under her husband's authority and covering will go far. I can tell you from personal experience, I can tell you this. I am enjoying my life now. I'm enjoying my marriage now than some years ago. When they would invite you and your husband would say, don't go. God is sending me to the nations. Don't be my devil. God has released me to the nations. What is the problem? They have paid for your flight ticket. They have instructed you. Your hotel accommodation is paid. In fact, a fat honorarium also is waiting for you. And your husband says, darling, I've prayed about this issue. Please don't go. I need you to be at home. I will hear things like that and I will go back to my bedroom and say, God, why now? How can I marry a man who cannot even see where God is taking me? He's taking me to the nations. And yet he says, no. But do you know, can I say this to us? For about 7 years, I'd asked my husband to release me from working in the office, working in church, because I'd always had a heart for young people. I'm quite youthful, always had a heart for young people, wanting to work with young people on a daily basis. I'm not just cut out for this, hey, God bless you. You know, the normal standard pastor's wife, hello, how are you? How was your week? How is your dog? How is your cat? I'm not just cut out for that. It's not me. It's not my nature. And I really wanted to express myself. I can see you in church. Oh, hey, how you doing? Greet you and I'll go. My nature is not to sit with you and pamper you adults. My heart is for young people, teenagers. I've been asking my husband for 7 good years. He said no. I then learned a lesson that there is power in prayer. I wasn't in this country. I was in the States. 2007, March, February. He rang me up and said, it's been really challenging for him to sleep since I left for the training in America, da, 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 da. So I said, what's the problem? He said, God has been speaking to him that his blessing is tied to him releasing me. I was excited. I couldn't say that on the phone. I said, really? So who's going to help you? Who's going to help with church work? Oh, are you sure you're hearing God? And yet on the other side of the phone, I said, are you sure? Have you prayed? I was so happy, but I couldn't show it. Why am I saying what I'm saying? 7 good years it took. 7. I had to wait for that 7 years. But the moment God spoke to my husband, my life, my marriage, everything did turn around. And what am I saying? Ladies in particular, if your husband says no about a particular, I'm not saying if the man is being wicked or is afraid you're going to make more money than him. No. In my husband's case, that wasn't what it was. He just couldn't bear the fact that, you know, people are going to say, I can't look after you. That's probably why you're going out to work. And I'm saying, no. We're not all cut out to just sit in church. I'd like to mix with human beings, people. I'd like to reach young people. People are dying. That's me. And then he supported me. I did the course and all that. And then it was like, I mean, now my husband says to people, my wife is more beautiful than when I first married her. My wife is so lovely. Only because I have entered into destiny. Now I'm able to behave myself as normal. In the past, I can go out and not even think twice. I'm not being wicked, but I just wasn't happy. But I realized that insisting on it, pushing it wasn't helping. It was actually drifting us apart. I'm saying that for the sake of those who believe their husband is their hindrance. He's not allowing me to go forward. God is your father. God is the man's father. If you're both Christ-centered, if the relationship is based on Christ, God would do it in such a way that God would touch the heart of the man. And he would agree. He himself would turn around and call you and say, this thing you really want to do. If it's a particular business, this business you want to do, I'm ready to support you. This is the finances for it. But the problem is, can we wait for God's timing? So talking about headship and submission today to round this up. If we want progress in our relationship, if we want to be happy in our relationship, if we want to fulfill the purpose of God, particularly as couples, one must submit and one must be the head. And at the end of this service, we know who should be the head, the man. Even some people say, okay, because I'm more spiritual, I got born again before him. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I have seen people who are even yet to be born again making more sense than a born again brother who is not ready to see God, to find out where is God leading us. I have friends who are saved. Their husband, they are not even born again. They are not even Christians. And the man would think and say, this thing you want to invest in, I'm not sure it's something you should do. 99% of the time, they are usually right. Ask me, how come? God knows. God knows. But it's also important that if your husband is not spiritual enough or is not born again, pray that he be saved. Because if he's saved, it turns around for your good. We are already in the relationship. And I know God's desire, God's mind for our relationship is for us to have a happy home. And if we're going to go God's route, some people say, okay, the man is just being wicked. He doesn't love me. I see him with other women. I say this to ladies. Any woman that has her head in the right direction, let her tamper with my husband. She will lose her peace overnight. The things she did not bargain for would meet her on the way. Why? Because I don't sleep like other women. You are submitted. But who will hold you not to pray at 2 a.m.? Who will hold you not to pray at 2 a.m.? When the man is sleeping. And you know there is in churches now, you have Jezebels. They don't have any assignment. It's to give you the pastor's wife problem. Is it a crime that we have married pastors? The man is sleeping. Father, I thank you for my husband. Thank you because, Lord, his eyes will only see me. Thank you, Father, because he would only think of me throughout today. Amen. Thank you, Father God, because his passion towards me would be doubled. Amen. It would increase. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Help my husband to see that thing that I need. Amen. Put me in his heart. Amen. Grant me favor. Amen. In his sight. Amen. He will wake up. That thing I've been asking for months. God will somehow drop it. What am I saying, ladies? The power of prayer. You submit, but you don't sit down with your submission. Because some men cannot hear God. So you help them to hear God. You don't have to pray loud. The man will just think you are caressing him. The money to open this shop, Father, put it in his heart. If he has to go and take a loan, Father, cause him to go out of his way. He does not have to know. Your Lord, so men, don't suspect your wife if you see them caressing you at night. Oh. Don't suspect them. Oh. It is allowed. I am sharing this with you because it has worked for me. If I ask my husband to remove his eyes today, if it's possible, you will remove it and give me. Why? Because the man is crazy about me. And then, of course, as women, I'm going to wrap up with this. Unfortunately, I didn't allow them to go. Because Apostle, my conscience is pricking me that he said we should do question and answer at the end. Okay, so is it auntie that can go with them? Okay, they can go for 15 minutes. So stand up and follow auntie. Thank you very much. Quick. And you two, yes, the two of you, go. Three of you, go. Quick. I have to obey my husband. My conscience is telling me you are disobedient. He told me to do some things, and I... This way, go. Follow them now. Go and help them to look after the children. Quick.